Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I am Cliff.
And there's actually some stuff to talk about this week, which is kind of nice.
And it's all bad. It's cursed, just like the frigate.
Well, some of it's definitely cursed. But we'll get to Nintendo later.
Exactly. So,
for now, how are you?
Yeah, you know, I'm right.
Nice.
I'm getting closer to the end of Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, I should start that.
I mean the book, not the show.
Either, really.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I have not read anything in a while, which is kind of disappointing, but there's too much content out there. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I got a bunch of like trade editions of comics up on my my bookshelf that I need to read as well. They've been sitting there for a month or two.
I haven't consistently read comics in 4-5 months. And you'd think, being unemployed for most of that time, I would have had time to sit down and do it, but I just didn't. So there's a lot of backlog on my iPad to read, so I will have to get to those soon, because it only has a finite amount of space, and really the only important things on there are comics and, like, D&D character sheets. Yeah. Well, there has been some new stuff that came out this week. Lots of stuff on Netflix. Like, Netflix is getting a bit crazy with how rapidly they release
There's
original content.
Pretty much always something new to watch.
Literally every week.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? I saw there's something like 300 original programs made by Netflix on top of all the other content that they sort of farm out, which is a lot. And I don't like looking at the My List section on Netflix, because then I realize how little of it I've gotten through, and that's depressing.
Yeah, there's a lot. For the people that complain that there's like nothing on Netflix compared to the American version, there's still shit tons of awesome stuff on Netflix. You're just making excuses.
We're definitely missing a lot of things. If I search one more movie or show and get titles related to, I may slap a bitch. But
most of that are like big network shows in America, though, and they guard their shit pretty hardcore. Or Foxtel, the wankers here in Australia, buy it up.
Yeah.
And monopoly that shit horribly.
Mm. So, but yeah, some of the stuff that we do get is pretty good or pretty bad. Iron Fist, I have watched maybe a third of. You've finished it, haven't you?
I finished it, yeah. Oh, boy, the finale.
I've heard things about the finale.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm looking forward to that.
There are fists a-flying in that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, the fight choreography is actually decent now?
I mean, there's some, like, you know, there's still a couple of sections that are a bit funny, but...
Yeah.
First, like, Danny Rand, he's fixed. He's better. Nice. They do dig into a bit of his, I guess... his rage and anger and stuff like that, but it's a bit more like it's good. It's not just, you know, I'm a 10-year-old boy in a 30-year-old man's body.
Yeah, a petulant teen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a big problem with the first season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting through it. It's just like they're full hours and it's a lot to get through.
Boy, and it's the Davos is a little shit.
Oh yeah, he's awful. Yeah. I don't love him. Mm-mm. He's a beautiful man, but he has a garbage soul.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You get a bit more of his backstory and a bit more of Conlon stuff as well, which is
good. See, that was the problem with season one, I found. Like, the end of season reveal was that Conlon was gone, but really, how were we meant to care about that when we'd not really ever seen anything about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, turns out that Davos has got a bit of a chip on his shoulder about not being made the immortal Iron Fist.
Who'd have thunk?
And by little chip, I mean he is carrying, like, a lot of, I am going to fuck you up, Danny Rand.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Mm. I think the problem for me is, like, I know the Netflix Marvel formula, which is that it's an incredibly slow burn until, like, the last two episodes. And I just... I find it hard to get through that.
There is a sort of episode kind of like 5, 6 or 7 kind of like thing where there's a you know, there's a showdown and some things happen. So yeah. It's not, and it's only a 10 episode season as well. It's not a full 13. So it is a shorter kind of deal. I think they were, maybe from the first season, they just reined in a bit and said, okay, let's get a bit of less filler in there and actually like do some stuff. Yeah. But you know who they didn't bring back from season one?
Who?
Sweet drunken fighter dude.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty cool.
He was the best bit about the first season. He was amazing. He was just different and interesting, and they should have used him as, like, Danny's main, like, guy. Like, no matter where Danny was, that guy was always there to fight him and defeat him.
Yeah.
He could have easily been that guy, and the series would have been a whole step up better just on that one change.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I know from the trailers that Misty makes an appearance at least once.
Oh, boy, Misty.
Does Luke show up?
Do you want spoilers or not?
Just a yes-no answer for me.
No, Luke. But mention Misty mentions Luke a bunch.
Okay.
But boy, so, alright, Misty gets annoying in the show.
Really?
Yeah, and the annoying thing is, okay, a bunch of shit's going down in, you know, like Chinatown and, you know, that shit, because, you know, that's what the show's about. With the hand bugging out, there's a power vacuum, so everyone's trying to, you know, do their thing, right? So bad shit's happening. Fairly standard, you know, gang warfare type deals. And she, well, you know, there's obviously people being hurt and or killed, and so bodies are piling up, so the cops are getting in on it. And Misty comes and pays a visit, you know. And basically, you know, Danny Wren's is a bit frustrated because Misty's telling him, like, you can't do this. And he's like, well, there's a dude out there who is as good as me, and he's killing people. Like, you don't have the resources or the abilities to stop him. Like, it's one of those things, like, we're the two best fighters in the city. Like, cops, normal cops can't stop him. And there's also a bit more to it, which I won't go into it because it's spoilers.
But yeah.
Basically, Misty keeps trying to, like, tell him, like, leave it for the cops, leave it for the cops. And it's just like, you can say that all you want, but we've, you know, the cops haven't done shit in the last X amount of weeks, and the body count is rising out of sight. Like, you can't handle this. So stop trying to push it. Like, it's that kind of thing. It's like, hello, like, glowing fist. Like, you can't compete with the glowing fist. Like, you just can't. And so that's that was a bit annoying for a couple of episodes. But her and Colleen have a whole, like, lady, like, bond thing going on.
Daughters of the Dragon, yep.
Yep. They even... there's even... Do you want to hear about a really bad joke that's made in there? Or do you want to wait for it for yourself?
I kind of want to see what it is.
There's this reference where they talk about... you may want to cut this out or not. It's up to you. But they're together and they're like, oh, you know, like, we made a pretty good team. Ha, like, you know, like, Knight and Wing together. Sounds pretty good to me.
Okay, that's...
Yeah. It was just like, wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's cute, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
apart from that, Misty was fine. It's just that one aspect of it. It was like, no, leave it for the police. We're the best. Like, no, you're not the best. Just stop. Supernatural going fists that punch through walls. Just stop, lady.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to other shows, just as an aside, you know what is the one thing about Misty that annoys me?
What's that?
The entire time she had that robot hand, there's a red button on it between her thumb and pointer finger, and she never presses it. What does it do? I need to know.
It makes, like, her small, but not just her. Like, it's only her arm makes it tiny, like Ant-Man.
Well, see, I figured maybe it's the button that turns it into a blaster, because her arm turns into a blaster in the comics.
Maybe they're saving that for Luke Cage 3.
But come on, how can you have a robot arm with a big red button and never press the big red button or address it at all?
It's like the Men in Black car, little red button on the gear stick.
Yeah.
You can't not press that.
It's Chekhov's little red button.
I did actually notice the red button a bunch.
Drives me crazy. Anyway, moving on. Iron Fist is a thing.
At the very end, there's a post-credits thing, which is I'm shimming up on YouTube and stuff now. There's like a little lead into where the Marvel TV shows are going next.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Basically another show trailer at the end.
Who's next? Like, Daredevil would be the next one,
It's a Daredevil one, yeah.
Yeah. which I saw they released a teaser for that was literally just old footage, so whatever. And didn't even say a date.
Boy, does it seem like it's going dark.
Oh, cool, darker. I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so also out recently on Netflix, Paradise PD, which is like a no-holds-barred cartoon.
It's been for a couple of months, I think, but yeah, it's fucked up, is the easy way to put it.
I don't know if I like it yet, and I've watched 5 episodes. It's very graphic, it's very in your face, but I keep watching it, so I guess I like it.
Boy, does Sarah Chalk want to get her hands over all over the big fat cop.
Yeah, it's kind of disconcerting hearing Sarah Chalk be so aggressively, like, creepy.
Like, full-on, like, fucked-up sexual harassment-y?
Oh, yeah.
Borderline rapey, because she's constantly, like, touching and trying to get in there.
And also swearing a lot.
Uh-huh.
I do like that one Argyle meth-addicted guy gets killed in almost every episode.
I haven't seen that much. I've only seen the first episode, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, he seems to get murdered a lot. He's Kenny, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I didn't realize that had been out for a while. I thought it was only in the last week or two.
No, it dropped a while ago.
Okay. The new season of BoJack Horseman dropped this week. I haven't checked it out yet because I've been watching Paradise PD so much. And Dragon Prince, which is the new animated series from the folks behind Legend of Korra, which I haven't checked out yet. I want to like it, but that animation style just, I don't know how to feel about it. It's like weirdly jerky. I don't know. It's just,
I haven't seen it, so I have no comment on it.
I'm trying to think of another show that does a similar thing, but I can't think of any.
Is it like the Spider-Man animated movie that's coming out? Is it like that?
A little bit, yeah. It is kind of that same missing gappy frames? Frame rate. Yeah, but I kind of like it for Spider-Man because it's also designed to be very rough and kind of graffiti-esque, whereas this is just like a pretty polished-looking animation. Like, it seems like it's designed so that when you take still images, it always looks like a beautiful painting. But yeah, I'll get to it eventually. Apparently it has a cool cliffhanger into its season 2 because they got a 2-season order as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Mm. Oh, and the other one that I wanted to bring up is 2 shows that have been revealed with like teaser trailers, but yet to drop.
Mm-hmm.
First is Netflix's She-Ra series,
mm-hmm.
which everyone made fun of because she looked boyish in one of the first images.
I mean, we're talking about remaking like a shitty 80s cartoon, so...
Yeah. Who cares? The fact that she's not like an extremely body dysmorphic Barbie is kind of nice. Maybe girls will actually enjoy it. Yeah, so that could be interesting. I haven't watched the trailer for it yet. I've just seen the stills. But the other one is a companion show to Riverdale, the Archie Comics show.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
See, this I actually want to watch.
Yeah. Like,
it's a little girl from Mad Men, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it is. She was also Kimi, Kimmy Schmidt's little sister in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay, yep.
And the voice of Jinora in Legend of Korra. So I sort of saw the name of the actress, which I can't remember now. And I looked it up because I couldn't remember where I knew that name from. And I was like, oh, okay, she's been in a couple of things I know. Yeah, so it's this kind of dark take on Sabrina. So not quite the old show that we're all used to from ABC or whatever it was.
Looks pretty creepy. So I want to check it out because, yeah.
Also, the main antagonist, at least to begin with, Madame Satan, is being played by Michelle Gomez, who was Missy in Doctor Who. And she plays weird and bad very well.
I'm just going to go Google her right now. Michelle Gomez, you said?
Yes, that is correct. She she gave a really good performance as Missy.
She's she's in a show called Bad Education. She plays this really weird like Nazi lady in that.
Yeah, she's great. Also in Green Wing, I believe, as the kind of really weird hospital administrator, which is just another British show that I've seen her mm-hmm. in. I'm really looking forward to it because she has an impressive range, and given her character's name is Madame Satan,
she might get to choose. She is a very formidable lady. When she's playing a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So that...
I mean, can we please get Jack Whitehall into this show? Just as a cameo to, like, face off against her? He can just die as like a sacrifice to Madam Satan. That'd be funny.
Get murdered or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in that. I've not actually read the Chilling Adventures comics, but I've heard good things about them. So I never really latched onto Riverdale, even though I enjoy the Archie comics. So this might be my gateway into then kind of folding back to that.
I remember watching the first 10 or so episodes of the show. And the whole time I was watching going, this is so shit. But I just, I don't know why, but I'm still watching
It's a CW show and they don't have the benefit of having superheroes. Oh,
and,
like, so...
and everyone's beautiful, like stupidly beautiful. And it's just, I'm just watching like, this is so terrible. Like the story is terrible. The acting isn't even that great in general. There's some good moments, but there's some pretty like junk stuff. But it's also related to like the material they get given as well. The material is pretty shitty.
Yeah. I will say though, KJ Arpa, who plays Archie, taking like an attractive young man as CW is wont to do, and then making him ginger instead of taking an actual ginger means you get a person with skin tone who gets to be ginger as well. Well played. It's good. I approve. I don't know if there's been any tiebacks to Sabrina in Riverdale. I know that the city of Greendale has been mentioned because I saw that raised in an article, but there's no crossover in the way that the recent Archie reboot comics started to do before they introduced a Sabrina comic line. So I think that's coming out in a couple of months.
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure when, but I'll pick it up and give it a crack.
Yeah.
Do we know if Netflix getting it here? Like they get Riverdale?
Yeah. It's a Netflix ad because it's a Netflix produced show.
Ah, nice.
Which is why the crossovers were in question, because even though Riverdale's on Netflix for us, it's a CW show. So it's one of those things where they say they want to do it, but they don't know if it will. But I mean, CW and NBC worked it out for Constantine back in the day.
Can't we just all get along and stop with the segregation of society?
I know. But yeah, I mean, come on. You'd be wasting an opportunity not to release Chilling Adventures on Halloween.
I mean, Disney just buy everything. That way everything can link to everything. It's going to happen eventually. Just get it out of the way now, right now.
Maybe. Mm. But yeah, I think that's all the TV show stuff. No.
American Vandal Season 2 dropped on Friday night. Oh, yeah. Boy, is it good. And boy, does it get dark and real.
I haven't seen any of that show.
Mm. It's good. Are you familiar with any of it?
No. Is it about vandals who are American?
It is. So the first season is all about in this school, it's like a pupil-free day. And so the teachers are training at school and the kids are off doing whatever. And the teachers come out of their thing because like some kids see some stuff happening, goes inside, warns the teachers. The teachers come out to the car park and there's been dick spray painted over all their cars.
Right. Okay.
And so it sounds stupid, right? They find this kid, they suspend him, but some stuff doesn't seem, it's a bit like too easy. Like it's not, doesn't seem quite right. And the kid that gets pinned for it is like, this bullshit. I didn't do it. Like it wasn't me. Like, even though he's a troublemaker at school, he was basically a scapegoat. Blame him, get him out of the school. That way it looked like we're doing stuff. It's all good. So these three students actually, two kids, and their cameraman from the like AV club or whatever, then make a documentary trying to find out what exactly happened on that day and who drew the dicks. And they go,
the show is framed as a documentary or
it's framed like, it's like a mockumentary show. It's like a full on like hardcore documentary, like, you know, the ones that have been popular on Netflix like lately. And so it's super, super, super serious, but they go into things like the kid that got pinned for it. He draws dicks one way, famously one way, but not like the way that they were painted on the cars. And they're talking about how like the dicks that the kid draws has a completely different shape to it. I won't get into too much details, but, and he also draws pubic hair on the balls with it. And they're like, but what about the ball hair? The ball hair is here on his, but it's not on the car. And so they go into it super serious and they look at, they have like full timelines of all the suspects were, like where they were, how much time they could, they do recreations, they do all this stuff. it's played so straight in such a stupid idea. It's amazing.
I mean, any documentary that has dick forensics is okay in my book.
But it gets better because season two, you couldn't think it's possible, but it's the same kids that made the documentary. They get asked to go to this other school to find out what happened with this other event. And they get told that they can use that as like a credit for like a senior project, basically. So they go off and they spend time at this other school. And I don't know the best way to explain it, but there was a series of attacks at this other school, the first of which is called, amazingly called, the Brownout, in which the school cafeteria lemonade was spiked.
Okay.
A very powerful laxative. And people are just, like, they're trying to get... They show this footage of like, you know, like, on people's phones of, like, they're filming it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there are people, like, running to the toilets, like, trying to beat down toilet doors. There are people that just can't make it, finding bins, corners, lockers. There are people just, like, basically, like, crapping their pants in the hallways.
Fantastic.
And it's amazing. And there's a bunch of other crimes that go after it as well. And it's them investigating on behalf of this because it... not only is these crimes, but afterwards they get taunted with footage and tag. People get tagged in these photos and videos by a man taking responsibility, or like a person taking responsibility, calling themselves the turd burglar with a poop emoji.
Okay.
It is the stupidest shit in the world, and somehow I like the season possibly more than the first season. And it takes a real dark turn towards the end. It gets real... This one has more of a message, like a social commentary message.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. It's amazing. Everything I've described happens in the first, like, 15 minutes of the episode. And then it goes on and they investigate. And they do the whole, like, full series thing. They have a pin board with, like, string everywhere, like, going to people. They're talking about the motives. And they're like, what about the motives? Like, what about if his motive... Because they're talking about this one kid, this basketballer.
Mm.
Like, what about if his motive is just poop is funny? And then the camera switches to, like, the other kid. And he's just like, poop is funny. And it just cuts away and they keep going. So it's full of great little moments.
All right, well, I guess I've got another show to put on my list.
They're only half-hour episodes. There's only 8 in a season. My girlfriend and I watched the whole thing on Saturday. It was so good. It was so, so good.
All right, I'll have a look. Shall we move on? Have you been playing anything this week?
Have I been playing things? Not much this week, no. No. But I might be playing a game I'm assuming I'll talk about in a second. I might be playing some Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Soon, because one of my friends has a PS4 and he doesn't ever play it, except for when a game like Spider-Man comes out. And he's finished it now, and he is going to... he might let me... Once he's, like, done everything he wants to do in the game, he might let me borrow it so I can play it.
Nice. Well, I did finish Spider-Man, or the main quest at least, mid last week. I was rushing to finish it by Wednesday because I thought Wednesday was when Shadow of the Tomb Raider came out. Turns out it wasn't, because it came out on Friday, but there was the super fancy $150 edition packed in with the season pass. And the other benefit was that you got 48 hours early access, so it came out on Wednesday.
Okay, right, yep.
I was not going to pay $150 for the game and the season pass. Like, I'll get the season pass eventually, but I price matched the game itself so I could get it for cheaper overall. So I smashed out Spider-Man's main quest, and it is good. There is some very, very strong hints for a sequel in the end. There's, like, 2 after-credits scenes, which is how you know that it's the first properly Marvel-approved game. Because it's got them after credits.
It has a pretty great moment, which is the other way you know that it's a Marvel approved thing.
Yes, that is early on. Wasn't expecting it myself.
No, it comes out of nowhere when you're like, okay, that's pretty good.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
Won't spoil that for anyone who hasn't automatically clued into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good game. I enjoyed the combat. The swinging is fantastic. Even catching pigeons, which is one of the collectibles you have to do. I'm looking forward to seeing what the DLC is. Based on the ending, and the fact that the phrasing for the DLC description says that it's, like, set later after the end of the main story, I'm excited for the possibilities. We know that the first of the 3 story bits will be Black Cat, which, no one cares. It's Black Cat. Unless she's, like, cool crime boss Black Cat like she was in the comics recently.
Yeah, but it's Sony, so they're trying to, like, amp up everything that's not the straight... Like, you know, like straight up Spider-Man. Like, here's the narrow, like, Spider-Man and his villain standing behind him. They're trying to go outside that. I think they're trying to legitimize their Venom and Spidey universe without Spidey. Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
I know what the 2 after-credit scenes are. Yes. I'm talking to people.
Won't I hope spoil they, it for the listeners.
I hope they don't use them for DLC. I hope they go full game with them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm.
It would be a waste, I think, if they DLC that.
I mean, for one of them, it could be interesting as like an intro to the setting for a sequel. It's really hard to make this interesting to talk about on a podcast without saying what it is. So let's move on. Mm-hmm. We can talk about this in private time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I finished that off. And then when it came out on actually Friday, I started playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is a Tomb Raider game.
Before we talk too much about Tomb Raider, though, I want to go back to one thing about Spidey. So I think we touched last week on the boy Spider-Man kills some people. He like flat out like drop kicks people off of buildings and they go flying.
But there is a mechanic in there to protect.
There is, because apparently, magically, Peter Parker slash our boy Spidey has rigged up the entire city with a never-ending network of web slingers that stop people from dying when they get flung off a building, even though he's nowhere near them, so he couldn't do it himself.
Not exactly. every time you knock an enemy off a building, or knock them a far distance in general, I think, they have a long string of web coming off them. Mm-hmm. So the kind of implication is one of the web gadgets you get during the game is a proximity mine where you can set it on the side of a building and it shoots out a web to grab someone, yanks them back and sort of goos them to the wall automatically. So the idea is that he's putting something on them or a web trail so that when they fall off the building, it snaps onto the side of the building and they get smushed to the side of it. So they're safe. They're 68 stories up in the air in which web that's going to dissolve in an
hour. It's a cool little touch that Spidey never kills anyone. I don't fucking believe it for a second that it happens because he swings in from like a mile away and will like kick people off both feet and they will just fly away. He does not plant on everyone.
I mean, it's nice that they have something in there to cover it off. And you do find enemies on the side of buildings after you've kicked them off, which is
like
cool.
Like I said, like, it's a nice little touch, but I don't believe that that's a thing. That they're just going, oh, no, he doesn't do it because this happens. Like, yeah, like, cool. I know, but like, I don't believe that that's a thing that happened ever.
I mean, in between, he is like swinging manhole covers around like frisbees, mm-hmm. which weigh like a lot. Like
50, 60 kilos on some of these big ones. Yeah. Like hits people on the head with them. It's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Car doors. It's fine. You'll be fine. Walk it off.
Smash people on their heads from midair. It's all
like
good.
He is killing people in that game. But I mean, it's superhero, so you suspend belief on that.
Yeah. It's nice that they thought far enough to do that little touch.
Like I said, it's nice, but yeah, I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of little touches, it's not really gaming related at all, but I did notice a cute thing when I was helping someone look up prices for the airport shuttle here in Melbourne recently. And, you know, they've got your season tickets.
This is a segue.
Yeah, whatever. It's little touches that make life better for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. So you've got your single tickets, your return tickets, and then family tickets. And I realized when I was looking it up and had to refresh the page at one point because my laptop was freezing, the little icons for the families, you know, like adult, children, mm-hmm. children, two adults, four children or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the adult ones randomized the gender every time you loaded the page. Okay. So sometimes it'd be a male-female couple, sometimes both male, sometimes both female. I just thought it was a cute touch. Just like one of those little things, much like webbing guys to the side of buildings in a game. Totally unnecessary. You could just have them disappear off into the fog of war or whatever. But it just makes it that little bit more well-rounded. I really enjoyed that, and I want to tell everyone about it. It makes me happy. But yeah, moving on. Right, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Begin Lara's the Apocalypse is probably a better way to start it.
Yes. So as revealed in all the launch trailers, Lara accidentally sets off the Mayan Apocalypse, or the Maya Apocalypse, which apparently is the correct way to phrase that grammatically, because they say Maya, not Mayan, which felt weird.
Yeah, it's one of those words that is its own thing or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, don't have the language to describe exactly what it is because language is bullshit and they have too many words for things. But you know what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a weird thing to adjust to hearing. It sounds like they've misread the line every time, but you get used to it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she set off the apocalypse. There's all kinds of natural disasters happening as a result, and she's trying to unfuck her fuck up.
Kills a bunch of people in a flood.
Oh, god damn. There is a lot of Lara murdering. Mm. Like, after she got over it at the start of the first game, which was is, to this day, a very powerful scene, seeing her having to make her first kill. Very well done. Well done, Crystal Dynamics. Now she's just slaughtering dudes.
Left, right, and center, everyone dies.
There's at least two points where she literally just goes on a rampage, and yeah, that's intense. Which is odd, because at the start of the game, she's pretty characterful. Like, she has characters. She's interacting with Jonah, who kind of became her sidekick in the second game, and now as well. And then at some point, she just kind of gets a little bit hollowed out, and it's just about, I have to go to this objective, and then also slaughter everyone. But it is cool that at this point in her career, people recognize the name, and when the Trinity soldiers, Trinity being the bad guy organization of the Tomb Raider franchise,
mm-hmm.
When they hear Croft is coming or they see her, they freak the fuck out sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What was it in one part of the game early on, you kill someone and they see it? It's like, she's here, cross here. And like, helicopter immediately pulls up, SWAT team drops out, starts trying mm-hmm. to kill you. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite shots, I think they used it in one of the trailers. As is typical, she gets knocked off a structure into the water. She falls down into the water. There's some dialogue repeated from earlier in the game because she's just learned some traumatic news. You see her kind of out of it, floating down in the water. Then her eyes kind of snap open. She just looks really focused and determined. They go to a shot above the water, sort of at the beach, and you just hear her, see her silently come up out of the water, wreathed in flames, and advances on an enemy who's on the beach, and he's just like, ha, ha, ha. It's like, yeah, she's a murdering 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate millennial.
She can also hold her breath for an abnormal amount of time while exerting herself underwater.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of underwater in this game.
Yeah. I was watching a video of it being played, and the very start of the video said, okay, cool, so let's take bets. Like, everyone throw a number out there of the amount of, like, life-ending injuries or moments that it would never survive through from thinking. They're like, yeah, like, there's gonna, in an hour there's gonna be like 20 of them, and without fail there was a million of them.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing, the game overs when you know fail a quick time event or whatever,
mm-hmm.
still brutal. They love yeah. impaling Lara on things,
yeah, on metal rods with in concrete, yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah,
there's love that a shit. Lot of metal rods and spikes mm-hmm. in Maya and Inca structures, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most excessive ones that I unfortunately had to see a couple of times because of a tricky jump. Typically, if you fail a jump and fall down into the pit, it's a bottomless pit, and she just kind of falls away forever. This one, for some reason, she falls down, lands on the ground, breaks her leg, cries out in pain, tries to get up, and is then accosted by two hyenas who tear her to pieces. It takes like 20 seconds, and you have to watch it every time. You can't skip these death animations. So normally it's like, oh, she's getting pushed down a river onto a spike. She dead. Reload the game.
Mm-hmm.
To their credit, reload times are very fast. But yeah, this one was just so long. It's like, yeah, okay,
maybe
she's
they're
dead.
Doing the loading while you're watching the death animation. They're doing it in the
it
background.
Could be. That would be a smart way to do it. Mm. Yeah. So I'm in the end game now. I haven't quite finished it. But yeah, it's enjoyable. There's a little bit of crafting in there. You upgrade your weapons. You get costumes that have different bonuses that actually do look pretty cool. Lots of collecting resources, shooting jaguars, all that good stuff.
She looks very Tomb Raider 1-y in her costume.
Yeah, she's definitely getting there.
The bluey, sort of greeny-gray top. And
yeah,
she's
got kind of like
stuff.
An athletics top that's a more conservative version of her old
If her pants
outfit.
Were shorts, it'd be identical, but they're basically just like pant versions of her shorts.
Yeah exactly. It's the uncut-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the ending sort of wraps these three games up as a trilogy and sort of sets the stage for the next phase of Tomb Raider. I don't know what that means because I'm not there yet, but I'm excited to find out.
Old Lady Lara.
Oh, Old Lady Lara, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do next, but it's kind of nice.
I feel
that
like they should definitely age her.
Yeah,
so
jump forward
she's
a few
years.
She's got
a career at like 22 is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I don't remember how old she's meant to be at this point. I also don't know how much of a gap there are between the games. There's definitely been, like, comic runs between.
She's very young.
Yeah, she. Although her facial animations are very good. They're one of the greatest moments that I saw that made me realize how much work they put into her expression is she's having a conversation. At one point, she kind of looks away and bites her lip a little bit. And that's a level of detail, like the ability to bend a lip to make a biting motion. That's a lot of articulation in a face model. And I appreciate it. She is very well animated. She's also very socially awkward, which I quite enjoy. Sometimes when she's talking to people,
she's too busy pillaging and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is a nice destroying touch. Historical artifacts. She spends artifacts. A lot of time on her own.
Yeah.
Jonah's kind of the people person. Trying
to
actually
get her to talk to someone.
Yeah. Literally at one point, she's like, I'm not used to crowds. He's like, it's okay. I'll do the talking. Good maybe, old Jonah.
Maybe crowds of murderous locals.
Yeah. She's mostly used to killing crowds.
Mm.
Yeah. No, it's really good.
It's a pretty game. It's well pretty. Oh, it's pretty.
Gorgeous.
Mm. It's like Uncharted 4, like pretty.
Yeah. Mm. Little touches as well, like one of the mechanics is there's like camouflage walls you can go up against to stealth kill enemies. Some of them are vegetation, some of them are mud because it's
she South goes America. All Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator.
She can literally wipe herself in mud and stick up against these walls, which also protects her from heat vision enemies and feels very intense. I'm enjoying it. I look forward to seeing what the DLC is because the first game, or the previous game, I should say, had a Baba Yaga DLC and also exploring the Croft Manor, which is sorely missing from these games. I used to love that part from Tomb Raider 2.
I just want
to
watch Ant-Man 2 again.
Baba Yaga. Feel free. I'm enjoying it. And I'm also enjoying the fact that I now have a 2-week gap before the next big release, which is Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which will eat my entire life because I only finished playing Origins like 2 months ago. God help me. Hopefully they don't have those end game early raid things again.
Oh, no, that'll be in it, I guarantee it.
But originally they said they were only going to run them once and then that was it. And that was going to be in like the first 2 months after release. They did end up repeating them. And then I think at this point they're just always available.
Yeah, I mean, that's one how of them. It should be. You run them at a time period, and then you basically just loop them back, so you can kind of do them in every time you want, because otherwise you're just punishing people who maybe don't get the chance to do it straight away, or timed events. I'm very funny about things that are only available for a certain amount of time. They have to repeat. If they don't repeat, then that's really not respectful to the gamers.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to pick exactly it up on release. When they
need
it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we've had that conversation before. Mm-hmm. To wrap up, let's quick fire some news because we're coming up on 40 minutes of recording at this point, and that's about enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just rattle off a couple of things, and then I know you had one that you wanted to bring up. So
which I can't remember what it is now. Oh, no, yeah, I remember what it is now.
Yeah. So most of them firstly come under the heading of the Nintendo Direct that aired last week. There's a lot of stuff that I'm just going
to
skip over.
To ready for the ranting and raving.
Oh, yes, here we go. Remember, quick ranting and raving.
My body is
quick fire news. Actual quick fire. A lot of the news I'm going to skip because it's not that interesting. A lot of ports being released on the Switch from the Wii U especially, which is good because those games never got played. Now they'll have a chance at life. Luigi's Mansion 1 is being released on 3DS, a remaster, which is good because I never got to play it. It was a GameCube launch game, wasn't it? I think. Yeah. But they also announced Luigi's Mansion 3.
He's not dead.
And it's going to be on Switch. Yay, more Luigi. And I love Luigi's Mansion 2, Dark Moon, or whatever they called it. So the fact that there's two more games coming in that vein, one that's kind of the origin and one that's an evolution, I'm happy about that. They confirmed at the end of the direct, I'm jumping around a bit here, they had an Animal Crossing section, which turned out to be a reveal of Isabelle as a fighter in Smash.
Just in case you didn't think that there's going to be anyone else in Smash, there's more people in Smash.
Oh, yeah. So Isabelle's in there. I also love that it triggered a meme that Isabelle's going to be an OP character because no one's allowed to hit her. Don't hit Isabelle. She's a sweet, beautiful angel. No one hurt her. Hey, she wins.
She's in a
game.
Fighting tournament. She knows what she's in for.
She wins every game. She also summons. She's
beaten out of edges like everyone else does in that game.
No, she's going to win. Don't touch our sweet angel.
No.
And her final smash is summoning the Nooks, Tom Nook and his kids, to fight for her, which is fun. And then after that, they're like, oh, yeah, here's Tom Nook being like, oh, how come Isabel got to be in Smash and I don't get to? I'll just get the town ready for them all when they come back. And then that was the confirmation of a Switch Animal Crossing game, which is fantastic because Animal Crossing New Leaf on 3DS ate my life for half a year and I can't wait to give it back again. Oh. Also being ported to the Switch, the original Katamari Damacy. Yay. It's been too long since it's been a Katamari. Also, there was another announcement, which was stuff about Nintendo Switch Online. Oh, Nintendo. So this is the online
platform. I would say they try so hard, but I'm not entirely convinced they do.
I don't know if anyone at Nintendo has ever been on the internet before.
Yeah.
So
they're probably talking to Al Gore, and he's like, I invented this new thing called the internet. And then, yeah.
So yeah, Cliff's Notes version is, it's basically the Nintendo equivalent of Xbox Live. You pay for the subscription equivalent's to access not the, right the online word. Service. The Nintendo equivalent, not the actual equivalent. Mm-hmm. So it gives you access for online multiplayer. You also get access to a library. Shush. NES games.
Because some games you can play without it.
Yeah, like Fortnite.
Yeah. Looks like free-to-play games are going to be free to play without
that. Yeah, because the Nintendo don't want to run it through their infrastructure, basically. Yeah. So it's for playing online. You get like free-to-play games for NES, and I think they'll expand it to other stuff eventually as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about older like Switch-based titles being available on kind of like a loop, the way PlayStation Plus sort of works. Mm-hmm. Couple of kinks in the plan there, Ninty. Firstly, those NES games that you can play for free, you have to log in to Nintendo Online at least once a week, otherwise it wipes the game because it has to refresh the license every 7 days.
Which all right. It's not that bad, really, in like today's connected world. You're always fairly close to Wi-Fi somewhere.
Yeah, but given that it's like $20 for a year's subscription, it should just say, okay, you're subscribed until September 18th, 2019. So unless you check in by then and we see that you've renewed, the game's going to delete itself.
See, it shouldn't delete itself. It should just become unavailable until you go online and
that like, is yep. what it should do, mm-hmm. but it's not.
No.
You have a family subscription option where you can have multiple accounts attached to a single kind of reduced cost thing, the way that Netflix and all that work. But the accounts all have to be on the same Switch. So it also means only one of you can be online at any given time.
Because people don't want or don't use alternate bits of hardware. They have one. And they all only use the one thing, and they all crowd around it like in those wicked Nintendo commercials.
Yes.
And yeah. They do not understand their,
that's their cool.
player base.
anyway. Nintendo will also have cloud saves, so you'll be able to save your games to the cloud so you don't lose your files, especially good if your Switch ever crashes.
Except where you can't.
But they haven't confirmed whether it'll be all your games or only your most recently played game. And if you ever unsubscribe from Nintendo Online, your saves are automatically deleted instantly.
Well, they say that they can't guarantee that they'll be up. They were ambiguous about it. Everyone's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's also ambiguous about when, like, if you download the save, like the wording, you expect, like, okay, you sync, you download the save, and then you can just use that when you're offline. But apparently, mm-hmm. the wording was really funny about it. And so people are like, wait, does that mean you can't use the save if you're not online? So people are just like, can you like tell us what's going on? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And the last of the points that I want to
some
bring
games
up.
Won't allow it because apparently it can be hackable and you can
whatever.
Cheat items. It's fucking bullshit. Just
who cares?
All cloud saves. Everyone else does it.
Yeah. The last one and possibly my favorite feature of Nintendo Switch Online. So when you sign up, it's like $20 a year, which is cheap. Like that's decent.
$30 a year, I think.
Oh yeah. 20 American, 30 for us. It's a yearly subscription. It's set to auto renew. You can disable auto renew and
why do I feel a stop giant it from ugly butt coming in here? Not nice butt, giant ugly butt.
So you can disable auto renew and choose to manually extend your subscription. But if you disable auto-renew, you can never turn it back on again.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
ever. Like, it literally says, you can't turn it back on again, ever. Ever, 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 ever.
What is even the point of that?
Okay, sure. They said that you can use, like, the gold coins you get for making online purchases to pay towards subscription. Cool.
Nice little, yeah, feature.
Don't know that they described how you manually renew. Can you extend it while it's already active?
You go to your local doctor and you get them to take a little blood sample and then you post that to them in like a cool little like container that's got some like dry ice in it, and then they sequence your DNA and then there's a demon next to them and they then like, you know, put it onto a contract and then they just own you from now on.
Cool.
Which, I mean, the way Nintendo fandom works, they basically already own you anyway, but...
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so bizarre. If... Like, because they didn't give a clear answer to how manual resubscription works, it's unclear at this stage, I think, whether you can tack on while it's still actively subscribed or if you have to wait for it to expire and then resubscribe, which means losing all your saves and all your NES games that you're playing weekly so that you don't lose them. Come on, Nintendo.
I've heard another couple of bits about the online thing too. Apparently now... more than one game will support this stupid voice app.
Oh, which is the dumbest shit.
Yeah, that's fucking terrible. But for some reason, yeah, now only like Splatoon and maybe one other game or something had it. No, maybe it was only Splatoon.
Anyway, apparently, maybe ARMS?
No, they mentioned adding it to ARMS and Mario Kart. So yeah, the thing that was shit and you can only use on one game, you can now use on more games, but it's still shit.
Yeah, I wonder if it still has a thing where if your phone locks, it disables the app because it can't run in background mode. Because that was great.
Yeah,
I loved that.
And apparently the other thing is you can buy some totally sweet original NES-looking controllers for it.
Yeah.
Except you can only do it if you're subscribed in their online store and they only wait for the NES app.
Yep, exactly.
Fucking stupid.
It's good stuff. Oh, actually, one other bit from the Nintendo Direct. One of the games they announced ported from Wii U was New Super Mario Bros. U, with some additions, as they tend to add stuff to these games to bring you back to them.
To trick you into thinking it's a different game.
So on top of being able to play as Mario, Luigi, and Peach, I think? No, you can't play as Peach in this one.
Yeah, I saw this.
Mario, Luigi were playable in the original. They've added Toad, because it's always Toad, and Nabbit... who was a character from that game. It's like a thief rabbit. And Toadette. You can play as Toadette. Toadette has a special power-up, which is a royal mushroom, which is a little mushroom with a crown on it. When she uses that power-up, she turns into Peachette, who is basically a Princess Peach lookalike with Toadette features, like ponytails and different details to her costume. Which raises a lot of questions about how evolution works in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Plus, we finally worked out why we were bullshitted around in Mario 1 originally.
Uh-huh.
She's in another castle. It was always a little toad or whatever.
Yep.
Take the crown off. Oh, what looked like a princess. Now a little mushroom lady.
Yeah. It's confusing because does this mean that the final stage of life for all toad people is to be human? Or some sort of human toad? Still hybrid, and how is Peach maintaining this transformation at all times? Because if Toadette gets hit, she turns back into Toadette. What's going on? What's happening? I don't understand Toad evolution.
It's best not to understand anything at all.
Makes me so nervous. But the Toadette, the Peachette character design is really cute as well. She has like different details to her. Like skirt, and I did notice in one of the pack shots that they do for this kind of stuff, you can see her shoes and they're like big brown boots, the way that Toadette's feet look, which I thought was a cute touch. She's like she's wearing practical shoes. I mean, she's on an adventure. She wants to be able to walk with even footing. It's important.
You need proper shoes to stomp various bad guys.
Exactly. But she has like the same abilities as Peach. Like she can do the hover and all that. So, is this like royal jelly that turns bees into queen bees? Is that what's happening here? Is Toadette going to like steal some of Peach's toad drones and go make her own colony? Mushroom Kingdom 2?
I figure it's like Slurm in Futurama. Peach is just like the Slurm Queen. Just like shoots out like royal Slurm. and it can transform you into a into another queen.
But you've never shown that on the games. Okay, so yeah, that was the Nintendo Direct. You said you wanted to talk about a thing in Destiny 2.
Yeah, a cool thing happened in Destiny, which is, I guess, an interesting thing to say and to start with. But they released a new DLC, or like expansion Forsaken? Pack thing. Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
So everyone was going nuts trying to beat the raid first.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys beat it after 18 and something hours or something of it being out. Yeesh. So like crazy people. But they got some unique items to say, yeah, you're the first. But
yeah,
it had entire game-wide effects and beating it for the first time.
Okay.
The next time you logged in, apparently, it would say that someone's beaten it. And it would unlock new strikes, new maps, like a whole bunch of new stuff. And it changed how some of the world was as well.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome. A world event is amazing. And WoW has been doing world events kind of to an extent. They usually come out with expansions and stuff like that. But they have had world events before. But world events in a game like that, where you're always kind of online and interacting with people, we need to see more of that stuff. Because that stuff is really good. Fortnite's done it a bunch. You know, for what, mostly I don't care about Fortnite, but what they have done right is doing world events where, like, it's different. Like, they change it and it evolves and it's new and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually enjoyed following that, despite not playing Fortnite, like, seeing all these, like, season changes, which is still a weird concept for me in
and
games.
Like, objects have disappeared in game and then shown up in the real world, out in the desert and stuff. Like, that is amazing.
The whole warping space-time thing, the crack in the sky and the meteor, that was all
the rocket
a long,
stuff.
Slow burn, yeah. Mm,
but, like, very, very cool. And add something extra to the game.
Yeah.
And we need more stuff like that in games.
Yeah.
Definitely need more stuff like that.
Nice.
Hmm.
Cool. Well, the only other things that I have here are just really quick little items of note that don't really merit much discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his popularity from the Black Panther movie, Killmonger is getting his own limited run comic, where he's been redesigned to be based on his appearance in the movies.
Hopefully we actually give him some backstory so we can understand why he turns from sweet kid playing basketball into Black Hitler.
Quite possibly. Mm-hmm. That might be why they're doing it. But that starts,
I hope it's something interesting like that, yeah.
Yeah, that one starts in December, so that could be an interesting. I think it's like a 6-issue run. Mm-hmm. Could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
In exciting news for me personally, they've announced that they're making a TV show out of Alan Wake,
which is one of the
best kind of spooky games that I've ever actually played, because I don't love spooky games. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it does really well, and they finally get around to fucking making Alan Wake 2. Not this stupid arena fight, American Nightmare, Xbox Live Arcade bullshit. Remedy, I wanted a real sequel, please.
I'm sure we'll get it when Half-Life 3 comes out.
Yes. In the meantime, they're making Control, which looks really cool. It's like a spooky, paranormal FBI division thing. Weird physics. I like it. So they get a pass on that for now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Alan Wake TV show, I think it's next year, probably. So that'll come out alongside The Witcher TV series. Lots of cool game shit coming.
Mm-hmm.
Literally today, they revealed the cover for Kingdom Hearts 3, which, it's just nice Tetsuya Nomura art, and has a lot of characters from all through the series. Yeah, it's just nice to know that they're actually serious about releasing this game finally.
Hmm.
It's going to happen. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Cool. That's literally everything that happened in the world this week.
Sweet. Nice. There's no hurricanes this week. Nothing happened.
Nope.
Only this news that we've reported it.
Mm-hmm.
100% mm-hmm. accurate.
So, thanks for tuning in for your weekly dose of The Indoorsman. As always, we are your weekly podcast guide to the great indoors. Thank you for listening to us weekly, because we release this every week, even if I forgot to post it on Facebook.
Exactly. If you like our opening and closing music, it is the great tune Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy, also a great name, by Rocco W. What's the W stand for anyway, do we know?
Wheelie Cool Guy.
Yeah. So it's not that, but you can get, if you want to search for Rocco W, let us know what the W stands for if you find out. And you can find it on Bandcamp, and you know, just Google it, put the name in, his name, track name, both, neither, see what comes up.
You know how searching works. You don't need to search for us, though. You can find us at indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook, at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter and Instagram, where you can check out most of our weekly cover art, because I still haven't updated it.
The worst.
But yeah.
If you want to contact us, you can get us directly on Twitter, at Cliff and Monkey for myself. Not going to reply. And at Ponk for Matt. He will see it and reply. And if you want to get, you know, to us kind of, I guess, together or you know, about the podcast in general, you can email us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That's the one. As always, we'd love it if you'd rate, subscribe, review the show on iTunes or whatever your podcast catcher of choice is. It's always helpful for us because, A, we know what you think about the show, and B, it helps it get out there to other people who can then tell us what they think of us. And as always, we can base our opinions on ourselves on your opinion of us. We're healthy.
I had to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
But for now, that guy over there, you can't see, but I can see because he's in front of me on the screen, has been Matt.
And that guy that I'm gesturing emphatically at is Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying our usual weekly thing that we say traditionally.
The possums are back in my roof.
Oh no.
Shit.
The show's over, bye.